Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is good. Amen. Oh, I'm so excited for today. I'm so excited for all that God's doing. You know, I'm just excited what God's doing in my life. I'm excited what He's doing in my churches. Amen. I'm excited what He's doing in these towns that we pastor in. I'm excited because God is just doing some wonderful things. And you know, if you've been here for a while, you say, well, it's been pretty good. I'm just going to tell you, it's going to get a lot better. Amen. Because we go from glory to glory. This isn't just something we say. It's not something that it's not just a good Christianese word to say, but it's the truth of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And you know, I wanted to talk to you a little bit before I get started in the message today. You know, we sang that song first, Standing on the Promises of God. Do you know, I was reading this morning. It's interesting, but I was reading this morning. There are 32,000 promises in this Bible. 32,000 promises of God written in this Bible. Amen. Now, somebody must have taken the time to count that. I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to take their word for it. I don't need to prove it out myself, because even if there was only 15,000, even if only half of that were true, that would still be pretty stinking good. But I believe, knowing my God, that there's probably at least 32,000 promises in this Bible. And I guarantee that there's probably things in here that we don't even know. Amen. But if there's 32,000 promises and we don't know any of them, how are we going to stand on it? Yeah. Amen? But that's why it's important to get in the Word and find out what the truth of the Word is. We don't want religion. We don't want what tradition. What we want is the truth of the Lord. Amen? We want the truth of the Word. Because when we have the truth of the Word operating in our lives, then we have those things that it says we have. Amen? Well, I'm glad you're excited about that. I'm pretty excited about that. When I saw 32,000, I mean, I know God's good. I didn't know He was 32,000 good. Amen. Glory to God. I'm just kidding. I know that God was 32,000 good. He's a million good. But you know, God is just, he shows us His abundance right here in His written word. So why would we doubt it? Amen. Well, today's message is called Lifting the Limits on Your Life. Amen. And this is a very similar message to what I preached last night in context and in scripture use. I added a little bit of extra scripture to it this morning. But I believe God that He's going to bring more out of it today. Amen. So if you were in last night's service, or if you watched last night's service, don't unhook. Don't get to the place where you're like, oh, we've heard this already. Because I'm telling you, I need it too. And that's why I'm preaching it again. Amen. Praise the Lord. Lifting the limits on your life. Praise God. First thing we need to understand is limits are both set and broken by what we believe and by what we confess. I said limits in our life are both set and broken by what we believe and what we confess. We decide which of these promises of God we'll walk in. The Bible says that God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't care if you're white, black. He doesn't care if you're a man or woman. He doesn't care. Praise the Lord. See, they're trying to set limits on me already. They told me, because we're doing the Facebook Live, I can only go so far. Hallelujah. But we're gonna push them limits today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You ain't going to put no limits on me. Well, maybe. We'll try to keep it for the people, if there's anyone tuning in or watching later. Praise the Lord. But the limits in our lives are set and broken by what we believe and what we say. It's up to us what we're going to walk in that God has promised. How do we know that? Because the Bible says that He has already done things. Amen? He's already given us promises. Praise the Lord. I'm thinking of one right now, and I'm just going to flip there as I'm talking. Or I'm going to try to, if I can remember where it is. Praise the Lord. But He has already given us all these promises. We decide whether or not we are going to walk in them. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, yes. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 says, by which we have been given to us, 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 have been given. If it's been given, that means it's already been given. You can't get something that's already been given. It's already been given, amen? You already got it, right? It has been given to us, exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Hallelujah. He already has given us certain promises. They're already ours. So if they're already ours, then there must be a way that we partake, right? Because if I can put a meal in front of you, I can make you the best meal that you've ever had. I probably can't, But we're just saying, for the sake of argument, that for the illustration purposes, I could make the best meal that you're ever going to, I could buy you the best meal that you would ever have and set it before you. But unless you sit down at the table and you start partaking, you're not going to benefit from that meal. I could have spent the most money. I could have had it shipped in from somewhere else and had a chef come in and all this stuff. And we did all these things just to prepare it for you. Yeah. But if you don't sit down and you don't partake, you're not going to receive of the things of, right? And the same thing goes with the promises of God. Just because he's promised us things does not mean that we automatically walk in them. And how do we know that? Well, look at the Christian world. How many Christians do you know that are not walking in the promises of God? And so what people do is they take those promises and they say, well, because people aren't walking in them, then it must not mean what God meant. Yeah. Instead of looking at the problem being that people might not be doing what God said to do to get them, they look at God and say it must be on his end. See, that's what we always do as religious people. We always push things off on God. It's God's fault. God had reason in this. That's why I'm not walking in the promise. No, if you're not walking in the promises of God, it's not God's fault, it's your fault. Yeah. Praise the Lord. God has given us exceedingly great and precious promises. Amen? So we understand, and we're going to see this here today, that limits in our life are set and broken by what we believe and what by what we say. And we're going to start here, praise the Lord, as I'm preaching this message today, I want you to consider something. What are the limits in my own life? What hinders me from going forward in anything? Where's an area that I'm tripped up in? What area keeps me from advancing, either in happiness, in joy? What areas do I experience this in? For some of you, it might be a sickness that you're dealing with. For some of you, it may be a lack of finances that you're dealing with. For some of you, it may be a spouse who isn't doing right, or it may be a child that's not doing right. But there's limits in our lives, and we can determine whether or not those limits are going to hinder us, or they're going to break through, or we're going to break through them. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want you to leave here today knowing that you have power to do something with your life. Amen? That you have the control. God has given you the control. And what a wonderful thing that he gave us control. Because he said, you know what? You don't even have to seek me for it. I've given you the power. Do you understand? That's how awesome he is. You haven't got to wait for the delivery system, in other words. You ain't got to wait for a mail system. You ain't got to wait for an angel to show up. I've given you the promises right here. I've given you the delivery right here. I've given your freedom right here. I've told you everything you need to know right here. You ain't got to wait for it. Just open the book, get in, start confessing it. Amen? And we're going to get into it today. Amen? Praise the Lord. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 1:7. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is so good. So good to give us his word. 2 Timothy 1:7. Praise the Lord. This is a scripture that every Christian should be acquainted with. You should be well acquainted with the scripture. I said you should be well acquainted with the scripture. Because right here we're going to see the reason, one of the biggest reasons that keeps most people from ever achieving anything that they desire in their life. And it's all right here. Praise the Lord. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. The first thing we see here, that God has not given us a spirit of fear. If we are experiencing fear, if there's anything, any kind of fear that comes into our life, if there's any, in any form, even fear that doesn't quite look like fear. See, some things, when people think of fear, they just think like scary movies or something like that. But if you're in a place where you're doubting, if you're not sure what's going to happen, that's called fear. If you don't know how you're going to make it, that's called fear. If you don't know how this situation is going to work out, that's called fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. That's the first thing we need to understand with this message and in the scripture. God has not given us a spirit of fear. And if God hasn't given it to us, then it has no right to be there. The Bible tells us that over and over again. Jesus didn't die so we could take things that don't belong to us. He died so we could have exactly what belongs to us. So if you don't know, if you're upset, if you can't figure it out, that's called fear. Praise the Lord. It doesn't have to be just big scary monsters in the closet. It doesn't just have to mean some kind of, you know, some kind of natural thing that you're afraid of. But anything that hinders you is fear. Anything that holds you back is fear. It's fear working in you. Why? Because if you understood that there's no limitations in your life, If you understood what the Bible says, you know, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What does that mean? It means nothing that can hinder me. And so if something's hindering you, it's not on God's end, it's on your end. I said it's on your end. Now listen, I'm not coming down on you and saying, oh, you're a horrible person. We all deal with fear. But we're all supposed to deal with fear. You understand what I'm saying? We all deal with it, but we're all supposed to deal with it. Amen? Just because something comes before you doesn't mean you don't take care of it. Amen? Hallelujah. What do you do when your grass grows? You mow it, right? Even if it takes you a little while, you get out there and you mow it. Why do you do that? Because you're not going to let it grow crazy. You want it to look nice, right? You go take care of it. You maintain. Amen? Well, Christians, why do we think that if everything in life has to be maintained, why would we think we don't need to be maintained? Why would we think our faith doesn't need to be maintained? Of course our faith needs to be maintained. We have to be the ones that maintain it. God has given us the tools. He said, you use it. But see, this is where Christians fail, because what they want, we live in a society that has trained people very well to let somebody else do everything for them. And that is the problem. Because that's not God's way, that's the devil's way. Amen? And if we're going to follow that, then we can never experience the blessing of God. You can pray all day and all night long. You can have every person, every faithful person in the world praying for you. Listen to me. You can pray all day and all night long. You can have every faithful person in the world praying for you. But if you don't maintain what you're supposed to maintain, those prayers are worthless. They'll do nothing. Why? Because there's no faith behind. There can't be faith behind it. Amen? The Bible says the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. A righteous man, that's one who thinks like God. Remember, we talked about that, right? A righteous man is one who thinks like the Lord thinks. Amen? And a faithful prayer is not just a prayer that's prayed over and over, but one that's done from faith. Hallelujah. And we learn a lot about that, but we have to understand that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he has given us a spirit of something. Amen? He's given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. He's given us a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The first word there is very important, power. Power is something, when we talk about power, power always does something. Power has an effect, does it not? Power is not, if you are laying life on the ground and weak, you are not full of power. We think about power, we think about people like Superman. You know that real guy, hallelujah, Superman? But we think about that. We think about Superman as ultimate power. Do you realize that that's what Jesus has made us to be? He's made us to be supermen and women, hallelujah. He's made us to be super strong. He's made us to be super effective. He's given us a spirit of power, hallelujah. But see, I've seen a lot of Christians that don't operate in power. I've seen a lot of Christians that don't know anything about power. And why is that? It's because, well, Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. It's not because they don't have it. My people are destroyed because they don't have the ability. My people are destroyed because they don't have the knowledge of the ability they have. Did you hear what I said? I said his people are destroyed because they don't have a knowledge of the ability, the power that they have. You talk to Christians about power, they don't know the first thing about power. They don't know the first thing about supernatural power. This is why people can't live right. Not because they can't, it's because they won't, because they don't know anything about the power of God. Amen? But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. And he's given us a spirit of love. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I said this last night. I'll say it again today. You know, one thing that the Bible says love rejoices in truth. That means it does not rejoice in lies. It can't stand lies. And that's why I'm a preacher that will get up and I will run on those sacred cows that people have. Oh, yeah, I'll stomp all over them. The Lord gives and takes away. You'll hear me stomp on that all the time. Why? Because it's not scriptural. Well, you see, you might find it in scripture. Sure. You can also find in scripture where somebody had a rash. Do you want that? Praise the Lord. It didn't say everybody was going to have a rash. We also see that when Job said that, he also repented for saying it because he said, I spoke words without knowledge. Yeah, but nobody reads the whole book. See, everybody just likes that, oh, the Lord gives and takes away, and that sounds like a real religious thing to say, and I'm so glad that we have these really religious traditions and standards that we can stand on. Well, if those are the religious standards that you want to stand on, you keep standing on, because I'm going to tell you that's shaky ground. You ain't going to be standing long, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're founded on things that have more meat than that, amen? We're founded on things that have more truth than that. Amen? Besides, you can find that one place in the Bible, and I can show you over and over and over again how God wants to impart into us. So God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and a love, and that's of truth. Amen? And I love this last one. I'll tell you, glory to God, He gives us a sound mind. He gives us a spirit to have a sound mind. He gives us the ability to have a sound mind. A Christian that does not live with a sound mind does not live without a sound mind because God didn't deliver it. They didn't do it because they don't walk in what God has delivered to them. Amen? Because God has not given us a spirit of fear. And you could say that fear also is the opposite of all these things. Fear is the opposite of the truth. Fear is the opposite of love. And fear is the opposite of a sound mind. Amen? And I know because I've lived in the opposite of all these things. I've lived consumed with fear. Praise the Lord. The power that it talks about here is the power to change things. God has given us a spirit of power to change our life. He's given it to us. But it's just like if I hand you a power tool, you can look at that tool all day long, but until you put that to practice or use, it is not going to do you any good. Until you plug it into where it was meant to be plugged into and start using it, it's not going to do you any good. Have you ever been, some of you may have done this, maybe not, but at some level you probably have, but have you ever needed a certain kind of tool to do something and went looking for it and you just couldn't find it? You'll spend hours looking for a tool that you know that you need, that you know you have somewhere. You'll spend hours looking for it. Why? Because you know that it's pointless to do what you're going to do without it, right? Praise the Lord. If you're like me, you'll have 15 of the same tool because every time you can't find it, you end up going and buying another one. Yeah, absolutely, because you know you need that tool. Amen? But what do? You do whatever you have to do to use the tool. Christians, we got to do the same. We got to do the same. We got to be people that will do whatever we have to do to use the right tools to affect the right change. If we want the change in our lives, we have to use the things that have been given to us to get that change. Amen? Praise the Lord. Fear is the power over you. It's Satan's power over you. It is how Satan binds and sets limits in your life. He gets Christians into fear. They stay in the fear, and because they live in that realm of fear, they can't live in the realm of faith, and therefore they cannot receive from God, and that's why Christians go without. Praise the Lord. What happens to you? Notice every time something bad happens to you, what's the first feeling that comes to you? It's fear. When you get a bill in the mail you weren't expecting, fear. When you get a report from the doctor that you weren't expecting, fear. When you hear about something else, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. There's all kinds of, you don't need me to tell you all of them. But you know when fear comes. And it always comes when there's opposition, doesn't it? Why do you think? Jesus told us that the devil was going to bring us opposition. Why are we surprised when fear comes with that opposition? But see, if we remain in that place of fear, we will always remain in that place of being hindered and opposed, and we will never be able to get out of it. Ever. We cannot step out of it because God has already done certain things. He has already put certain things in motion, and one of those things is our ability to control it, the power He gave to us. Notice the Bible says there, He gave us a spirit of power, right? Who did He give it to? Us. He gave it to us. He's got it. We've got it. Praise the Lord. If I got one tool, if I got one hammer, and you say, hey, Pastor Jeff, can I borrow your hammer? And I say, sure, here it is. And you call me up a little bit later and you say, hey, Pastor Jeff, can I borrow your hammer? I need the hammers. I've already given it to you. I can't give it to you again because I've already given it to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, when you've been given the tool, you have it. If you don't use it, I could give you 1,000 of them. I could give you a gift card for nothing but hammers at Home Depot, and you could have a stockpile, a garage full of hammers. But if you don't put the hammer to the nail, you're never going to get what you need to get done with it. Amen? It's the same thing with God. He's given us the tools. He's given us the ability. He gave us His Son. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He said, here's the Word. Here's your promises. Here's everything you need for life and godliness. Hallelujah. There's everything that pertains to life and God. I've given you everything. That's also in 2 Peter. Praise the Lord. I've given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. Everything. I've given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. What are the two things that we're searching for in life? If you're a Christian, it should be life, a good life, and good godliness. I want to live godly, and I want to live a good life. Amen? Besides that, there's no two things that I desire more. Praise the Lord. This is what God has already done for us. We have to see that. That's why when we just pray, like the world prays, or like what most of the church prays, Lord, do this, we never even realize that God's already done it. We are asking God to do what he's already done, and he's standing in heaven with his hands tied. He says, I can't do anything for you because I've already done it. I gave you Jesus to show you that I've already done it. I've conquered the grave for you. I've conquered death for you. I've conquered sickness for you. I've conquered the devil. The Bible says we put the devil under our feet. He said he put the devil under your feet. I said he put it under your feet. It's not under his feet. It's under your feet. Hallelujah. Well, you're going to let him up. Then you're going to have what the devil's going to give you. If you're going to let him run on you, you're going to have what the devil's going to give you. If you let fear in, and if you let fear stay, listen, we're all going to feel fear. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we're not going to feel fear. You're going to feel fear. It's what you do with it that matters. If you accept it and you wallow in it and you live according to it, if you live according to what fear dictates in your life, then guess what you're going to have? What fear dictates in your life. You understand? There's no other way, folks. There's no other way. If fear is our deciding factor, then we will have what fear gives us. We will not have what God has given us. We will have what the devil has given us. And we can't have anything else. Because the only way we can receive from God is through faith. Amen? You know, I used this example last night. I'll use it again today. I think about animals on the road. I've killed an unreasonable amount of animals this year with my truck. Not because I desire to, just because they are stupid. I'm sorry, it's just the way it is. I root for them as I'm driving down the road and a little chipmunk or a squirrel runs out in front of me. I'm rooting for that little bugger with all my heart. I don't want to see it die. I do not want to see it die. When I know it's died, and you know because of the crunch, but when you know that it's died, you feel just a little, at least I do, I always feel a little bit bad. I'm just like, oh man, I really wish I wouldn't. I still think of this cardinal I killed once years ago every once in a while. I thought of it again. Praise the Lord. It's the truth. I don't want him to die. But you know, what do you see when you see a squirrel or a rabbit run in front of your vehicle? They always do the same thing, right? The worst thing they could possibly do. They hop back and forth in a 2-foot span right in front of your tire. Isn't that what they do? It's like, no, just run off to the side of the road. You'll be fine. Just keep going. You will keep eating your nuts and you'll have your grass and the rest of your day will be great. You can play with your squirrel buddies or your rabbit buddies, but they don't do that. Why? Because they're gripped with fear. Christians gripped with fear are dancing in front of the tire. It's just a matter of time before you're going to get flattened. It's just a matter, it's coming. I'm telling you, it's coming. We got to deal with fear. We got to deal with the devil. We can't let the devil have our lives. We can't let the devil have what's ours. If you give the devil what's yours, it is not God's fault. It is not the devil's fault. It's your fault. Because you gave it up. Amen? We cannot let the devil have what's not his. And he doesn't own anything. We are the ones that have the rights to it. Whether or not we walk in it is up to us. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Don't let me finish this message, just in case, without talking about the Mississauga miracle. But I was going to talk about it first, but I got into some other stuff, so I'm going. Praise the Lord. So fear is Satan's tool to get you to put limits on your life. Romans 8:15 says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." You did not receive the spirit of bondage to fear, again to fear. See, this is what the world receives, bondage caused by fear. Most of what people do is caused by fear. Amen. Why won't people be a blessing? Because they're afraid that if they give, that they won't have. It's fear. Why are people afraid to help someone out? Because they or to sometimes to get into a relationship, the right relationship, because they're afraid if they step out, they're afraid. Something's going to happen. Listen, if you just always operate in fear, you'll never step out. You'll never get what God has for you. You'll never walk in what God has for you. You can't do it. You cannot do it. You can't operate the way the devil has always caused you to operate and expect that you're going to be blessed on the other side of it. It just isn't going to happen. We did not receive a spirit of bondage again to fear. We have not received this from God. Now, this is not saying that people don't receive this. He's saying from God. This is talking about, this is not what you've gotten from God. You have not, most Christians talk out of a place of fear. Why do I say most Christians? It's the truth. You talk to Christians, you talk about, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know. This and that. If you have that tone coming out of your mouth, Christian, then you don't know who your father is and you don't know what he's given you. And guess what? I'm going to take this a step further, and you're not going to like me for saying it, but you're partnering with the devil. You're listening to the devil and you're saying what he says is more valuable to me than what the word says. Yeah. Listen, I go through it too. But we, at some point, we got to stop it. We got to say enough of this madness. At some point, we got to decide. Or we're going to always have what we, like Pastor Michael said, if you always do what you always did, you're always going to get what you always got. It's the truth. You can't, like, if we don't change something, listen to me. If we don't initiate change, we're always going to have what we always got. If we don't put it up and say, listen, enough is enough. When did my life change? When I decided enough was enough. When I decided I wasn't going to take any more garbage from the devil. When I decided that I was going to live blessed instead of cursed. That's when my life changed. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Turn with me to 1 John 4:17. 1 John 4:17. Praise the Lord. God is here today. He's delivering a message for you. He wants you helped. He wants you blessed. He wants you set free. Praise the Lord. We're not going to be people that live in fear. Listen to me. If you've been living in fear, if you've been gripped by fear, today is your freedom. I said, today is your freedom. Don't be sad. You just turn that smile upside down, start smiling, or that frown upside down, start smiling. Hallelujah. Because good stuff is coming. If you do the word, if you put it to practice. Say, well, I don't know if I can do that. I'm going to tell you, you can do it, because God wouldn't have told you you could if you couldn't. God wouldn't have told you to do it if you couldn't. God has made this so simple that a child can do it. Amen? Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is. As God is. As Jesus is. As he is. As he is, so are we in this world. Not in the sweet by and by. Not when Jesus calls you home. Not, and I'm talking about the way people talk. You know what I'm saying? Not someday over the rainbow. We're talking about now, in this world. Where you live? In this world. Where do you need help? In this world. You don't need it in the sweet by and by. You don't need God's help there. Why? Because everything's perfect there. There's no opposition. There's no devil in heaven. You don't need God's help there. You don't need his healing ability when you're just walking around in blessedness all the time and there's no devil to take it from you. You don't need it then. You need it now. Why do you think he talked about it on this earth? Because we need it here. Amen? Praise the Lord. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we have boldness in the day of judgment. Praise the Lord. Is that where I was? Yeah. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. This is why I stopped watching scary movies, by the way. Why? Because they put fear into you. Fear has nothing, no part of God. And so when you put that feeling in you, you know what you're doing? You're allowing the devil, you're opening the door to the devil to come in. Yeah, absolutely. This is why we don't watch scary movies. I'm just telling you. It's why we don't watch things that glorify Satan. Because it opens a door for us to fill that, fill ourselves with that. And whatever you fill yourself is what you're going to have. Amen? Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Mark 11. So I think we can all see today that fear is not a good thing, right? Fear is not from God. Everybody say this with me. Say, fear is not from God. It's from the devil. And so I don't want it. I'm not taking it. I'm not going to keep it. I'm not going to let it have 1 minute more in my life. Amen. You just confess yourself out of it. Praise the Lord. So what do you do when fear comes on you? You're going to say, fear has no place in my life. Fear is not of God, and therefore it's not for me. If it's not of God, it's not for me. Amen. Amen. If Christians could just get that phrase down in their life, it'd keep them from a lot of trouble. If it's not of God, it's not for me. Praise the Lord. If it's not of God, it's not for me. Praise the Lord. Can you picture Jesus and God sitting on a bar stool? Nope, I can't either. And if you can, boy, you got troubles. Hallelujah. Because the Jesus and the God you're serving isn't the one I'm serving. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I'm just saying it's free, no charge, but it's the truth. Yeah. Can you see God? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You see God fornicating? You see him doing that? See him running around with somebody who's married? See God doing that? Absolutely not. Kick that garbage out. Get it away from you. Because that's what it is. It's garbage. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Mark 11, 12. That's for somebody. Praise the Lord. Mark 11, 12. Now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry, speaking of Jesus. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. But when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it. I'm going to stop there for a second. Notice what it says there. In response, Jesus said to it. Did the fig tree speak to Jesus? Did the fig tree start saying something to Jesus? No, but lack was trying to say something to Jesus, wasn't it? You ain't going to eat anything today, Jesus. In response, Jesus spoke to it. Why would he speak to it? Why would Jesus speak to a fig tree if it wasn't important? And you got to realize something. Jesus was God. Amen. But he came here to live as a man to show us how to live. Yeah. All right? A lot of people will agree with that. A lot of people superficially will agree with that. A lot of people will even run with that. A lot of people will say it. I don't think you could go into a church and find a pastor to say that Jesus didn't come to teach us how to live. So what's he doing here? He's teaching us how to deal with lack. He's teaching us how to deal with something. Amen? Praise the Lord. He's teaching us how to deal with fear. Praise the Lord. You ever been there where you didn't know how you were going to get that meal? You needed a meal. You got a meal coming up. Maybe you don't know how you're going to feed your kids. You ever been there? I've been there. Hallelujah. I've been there. Amen. I've been there where I didn't know how I was going to do the next thing that I was supposed to do. You ever been there? You got a bill to come or something like that. You don't know what you're going to do? Well, see, what's going to happen is you're going to either be gripped by fear and be at the whim of the devil, or you're going to start speaking in faith and you're going to do something about it. You're going to change your situation. Amen. Bible says, you know what a lot of people will do here, though? A lot of people will focus on this fig tree. Why did Jesus curse this fig tree? You're missing the whole point of the story. The fig tree doesn't matter. Jesus' response to lack is what matters to us. Let's not get hung up over the stinking fig tree. It doesn't matter what it was. It matters that it was lack. It was trying to come on Jesus, and he was dealing with it. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again." What he's saying is, if you're going to produce lack in my life, then I'm kicking you out. You're all done. You're all done. I am not even going to let lack exist where it came up. So if there's a fountain of lack that's spewing its garbage over there, guess what? You curse it, let it die. If there's lack in your life, if there's something, you curse it, let it die. I said you curse it and let it die. You speak to that thing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Now you go down to verse 20. We're just a few verses away. Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away." Hallelujah. So Jesus answered and said to them, "This all happened because I'm God. This all happened because I was there at the creation of the earth. Because I spoke that fig tree into existence." Didn't say that at all, did he? What did he say? His response is, they're looking at the power, the magnificence of the power that happened. The power to dry up the lack. They're looking at that. And Jesus connects it with having faith in God. Jesus says, have faith in God. It was like he was telling them to have faith in God. These people were not special. You may think that they were special, but they were not special. They were no more special than I am. They're no more special than you are. These people were just fishermen or whatever. They weren't special in their own right. God didn't pick them because there was some magnificence about them. See, you got to understand what the Bible's telling us. God uses people who were not able, because if they'll listen to him, it talks more about his power and his magnificence than anything. Look at what God did here. He said, Jesus said he took it off of me. He just said, just have faith in God. Just have faith in God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. For assuredly I say to you, Now he's telling us about a principle that applies to us. Say, this is a principle. This principle applies to me. Guess what? It applies to you. This principle applies to you. He said, have faith in God. For assuredly, without doubt, I say this with the most, as much as I can say anything. That's what assuredly means. For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says, say whoever says. So, well, Pastor Jeff, why you got me talking today? Because I want you to say some things, amen? I want you to get some things here. The Bible says, Jesus said, whoever says, whoever says, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. The King James says he will have whatever he saith. Yeah. Hallelujah. Whatsoever a man says and believes, when he says it, that thing he will also have. If you are operating according to fear, if you let fear run your life, then guess what you're going to be speaking? And guess why you have what you have? Because you've been speaking wrong your entire life. The principle of faith works on the earth because that's the principle by which the earth operates, is by faith. The earth was created in faith. God said it will operate in faith. And he said as long as heaven and earth remain, so will seed, time, and harvest. Seed, time, and harvest. You will plant, and God said, Jesus said, you plant with your mouth. Hallelujah. You sow with your mouth. You sow with your words. And therefore, when you sow, and you sow, and you sow, don't be surprised at what kind of harvest you get. Look at what you've been sowing. Look what you've been sowing. You sow with your words. Praise the Lord. Use your words, but use them right. Use the right words. What we say is what we get. Praise the Lord. People can believe it, or they cannot. But it doesn't change the fact that this is the way it works. You can pray all day long, but go out and speak all day long bad, and every one of your prayers will be nullified. Your prayers will be purposeless. They will be a waste of time. So many Christians are ruining their prayers because of the way they speak. It's always bad for me. Have you ever said that? I've said it. It's always bad for me. Then it'll always be bad for you. It never works out for me, then it never will. What do you need to say when the devil's comes knocking? Oh, it's coming to pass, devil. It's coming to pass. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to confess something. You want me to confess something to you? Let me tell myself. Everybody say, yeah, Pastor Jeff, we want to hear about what you... I'll tell you, I've been confessing wrong about this church. I've been getting frustrated by what the things I see, and instead of dealing with it the way that I know I'm supposed to, I've been speaking against it. Absolutely. I mean, I've been speaking against the things because I get frustrated by things I see in people. Absolutely, I'll tell you the truth, amen? Because I know the way things should be. I know the way things are. I know what I would do, amen? And I expect others to do those same things. I'm nobody great. I'm going to tell you this right now. But see, but as long as I speak negatively about it, then I'm going to have what I say. As the pastor, I will lead the church. I've been leading the church wrong. In some things, amen? I'm not saying completely wrong, you know what I mean? But in some things, I've been leading the church wrong. But I'm here to tell you, and I'm here to tell the devil, that I ain't doing it no more. Because I'm going to have, regardless of what people do, what people think, what people, if it's just me and my wife going through to the other side, then we will go through the other side, and we'll go there with the blessing of God. It doesn't matter. We're going to have what we say, because God hears me too, amen? And I'm not going to speak the negative things anymore. I'm not going to speak bad things anymore. I'm not going to save people always. Because I don't care what the people do. People will hear it. Some people will hear it. Some people won't. It doesn't matter. That isn't going to control what we do. Amen? Right. Praise the Lord. Amen. And it won't control what we have. Right. Guess what? We are building a bigger building. Yeah. It's coming, but it won't come until this building is finished. Right. Why? Because God doesn't just jump. You got to be a good steward of things. You got to do things in order. Yeah. Guess what? This building's getting finished. Yeah. Said it's just getting done. It's getting paid for, and then there's a new one coming. And if you think this one's expensive, wait till the next one, because the next one's going to hold more than twice the number of people. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And that's not because I've got some ego and I want just a big church. It's because that's the direction of the Lord. If you don't like it, that's fine. Go to a small church. Praise the Lord. But this church is growing. Because this church is changing lives, amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. That's what the Lord put on my heart. Bigger. It's got to be bigger because there's got to be more room for more people to get lives changed, amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, he said these things, Jesus said these things in connection to them witnessing the power of God operating through the faith of a man. Amen? As he is, so are we in this world. As he is. As he is now, so are we in this world. Do you walk around like Jesus or do you walk around like the devil? Don't be surprised what you get then. If you walk around with the faith of Jesus, you'll have the things that Jesus said you can have. Listen, I'm not telling people this to put them in bondage. I'm telling this to set people free. Because here's the thing. You've been limited by what you've said. Don't get mad at me and don't get mad at yourself. But you've been limited and it hasn't been God's fault. But it's time that we start walking out of this, isn't it? It's time we start walking into more, isn't it? It's time that, you know what? It's time that certain things increase in our lives. Amen? Yeah, absolutely. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about everything we need in our lives. It's time, you know what? Wouldn't it be nice not to have to work as much and have a little bit more family time? Wouldn't that be nice? Hallelujah. It's time that happens. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to take that vacation? Yeah, absolutely. Praise the Lord. You don't think God wants you to take a vacation? Of course he does. You got to start calling that in. Amen. Wouldn't it be nice to finish your house? Amen. Wouldn't it be nice to be done dealing with that sickness? Wouldn't that be nice? Hallelujah. Well, how long are you going to sit there and complain about it? Or are you going to stand up and you're going to do something about it? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I wrote this down. This came to me last night I was preaching. And I love it. You fill the hole the same way you dug it. I said you fill the hole the same way you dug it. You dug a hole with your lips, you need to fill it with your lips. Amen. And look, listen, if it took you a little bit to dig it, it might take you a little bit to dig out of it. And that's okay. That's okay. Start spending and start turning it around. But if you continue the way that you've been going, you're just going to dig it deeper. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So as he is, so are we in this world. He is the resurrected, victorious King seated next to the Father. As he is. That's what he is right now. He's resurrected, victorious, and he's a King, and he's seated at the right hand of God. As he is, so are we in this world. Listen, if you realize that you were a King, boy, that extra, you know, some people, I'll tell you this. I've been caught up in this too. You know, it's hot outside right now. But sometimes around here, it gets cold outside. And there's sometimes that you'll have the house just so cold because, you know, you just got it enough to keep the pipes from freezing. But you know something? You're not comfortable. Do you think that's the way a king lives? You show me a king that lives that way. Hallelujah. As he is, so are we in this world. God doesn't intend that for you. If you think that's of God, then you, listen, I'm just going to tell you what, you are not going to like me, you are not going to like this church. If you think God rejoices in poverty, if he rejoices in what people don't have, I'm going to tell you what, we were just in Toronto. We saw homeless people, we saw people in the absolute depths of poverty. Do you think God walks by and thinks that that's godliness? Do you think, honestly, that God walks by and says, so why would God want you like that? Why would he want you not able? Listen, if you're in bed sick all the time, how are you spreading the gospel to people? Yeah, I'm telling you the truth. If you can't leave your house because you can't rub two nickels together, how are you going to bless somebody else out there and show them the love of God? How are you going to do it? You're not going to do it, are you? But you will have what you say. And you will continue having what you continually say. I'm going to tell you, don't go out there today and think, well, I'm going to just change what I say tonight, and tomorrow I'm going to have everything. I'm not saying things can't change. Things can change quickly. But I'm just going to tell you right now, don't go out there and start thinking foolishly and just start thinking, well, if it doesn't change in 15 minutes, then I'm all done with it. Because you spend a lot more than 15 minutes whining and bellyaching. Amen? Faith and patience, we obtain the promises. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. So what does it say here? It says, we have the same spirit of faith. That's what's been given to us. The spirit of faith. We have the same spirit of faith according to what is written. And then it tells us what was written. I believed, and therefore I spoke. So we also believe and therefore speak. Why would it tell us to do that if it didn't matter? It didn't tell you to pray about it. Does it say anything about praying about what you need? No, it says believe and speak. Did Jesus say back there in Mark 11:23, was he telling you what to pray about? No, I'm not saying prayer isn't good. But see, this is what a lot of people don't realize. We need to speak the things that we need. We need to pray about things that others need. Amen? We need to pray about what others need, because you know what? Because what prayer is for, prayer is about communicating with God and praying things for other people that people don't know how to pray for. There's a lot of people that aren't getting taught here today what you're getting taught. So there's a lot of people that are out there going to keep speaking bad. So you need to be spending your prayer time praying for people that need it, and then speak to the things that you need. Jesus said to whoever says to the mountain and believes. He didn't say whoever says to God and believes. Is that what he said? He said, whoever says to the mountain, what's before you? What do you need? What do you need change? You need to speak to that thing. You're going to God, speaking to him. He said, speak to the mountain. He said, why isn't the mountain moving, God? He said, because you ain't speaking to it. You're talking to me. You're talking to the wrong person. You're talking in the wrong place. You're directing your mouth in the wrong direction. When you look to God, you praise him for the mountain being moved. When you, if you're thinking about it, after you've talked to it, you don't have to sit there and dwell on it. Then you praise him. You think that's kind of prayer too? Some people have no idea what prayer is. They pray, think prayer is getting on their knees and saying, oh Lord, bless me, my house. These four and no more. That's what they think prayer is all about. Why do you think, like some of you, I've had you pray for other people. Why do you think I have you praying for other people? Because you need something too. Why do you think I came to you? Why do you think I set people up with you? Because things they need are things that you need. Pray for them instead. The Bible says that God turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Stop using prayer for things it wasn't meant for. See, this is what the devil will do, though. He'll get you in fear and say, if you don't sit there continually going before God, begging him, you're never going to get it. I know, because the devil did this with me. What do you mean, God, that I don't pray for my own stuff? What do you mean, God, that I don't sit here and just pray about what these things that I need and all these things just to get us through? What do you mean? That's not what prayer is for. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm not saying you can't ever ask God for something. The Bible tells us to ask God for things. But Jesus was speaking in context of dealing with lack, wasn't he? He was talking in context of dealing with something that was coming up in his life that he didn't have. He said nothing about praying to God. He said, speak to that thing and believe. And believe because of knowing who you are. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We believe, and therefore we spoke. I'm going to share some notes with you from this week in these messages I was in. And these messages that we heard this week weren't exactly this what I'm preaching to you today. This message did come out of that, however. And I want to share some things that were said, and these were said specifically. And so they were so good, I thought I'd share them with you. Amen? The purpose of confession is not trying to get God to do something for us. I want to tell you, by the way, I sent out a message this week telling people that you need to be here this week. And we probably, you know what I'm saying? I mean, this is exactly, people need to hear this stuff. And there'll be people, now listen, I know there's some people that couldn't be here for legitimate reasons. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying there's people that just take time off church casually and they think, well, you know, whatever, I'll just, because you don't have revelation of what church is for you. You don't have revelation of what you're hearing. Because if you actually would put this to practice, your lives would change. Do you think this is the first time I've ever preached this in this church? Absolutely not. I mean, I preach a little differently, but it's the same stuff. There's tons of scriptures on confession. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. But people still have what they always get. Well, praise the Lord. The purpose of confession is not trying to get God to do something for us. You cannot make God do anything he doesn't want to do. The purpose of confession is to get us in faith and then keep us in faith. Yeah. Do you know why? I'm going to add this. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so if you're in a place of fear, you're not in a place of faith. You're in a place of fear. It's not a place of faith. You can't be there, so you can't please God being in that place. And you cannot receive from God in faith if you're in fear. That does not mean the feeling of fear won't be there. Don't mix my words up. The feeling of fear will be there sometimes, but where fear has gripped you, when you are in fear, is when it's gotten to the place where it controls your outcome, or it controls what you're doing. If you're doing something based out of the emotion of fear, you're doing it wrong. You need to get before God and find out what you need to do right. Amen? We don't operate in fear. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Confession will locate you. Are you in faith or are you not? Amen? Confession sets the boundaries of your life. You may have boundaries that have put you where you're at with your words, or that have been put where you're at with your words. Because of the way that you've spoken, you have created, you may have created certain boundaries in your life that you can't surpass. Amen. That's the truth. I know it's heavy, but it's the truth. Where we've been talking, and I know all of us are sitting there thinking, what have I been saying? Listen, I'm just telling you the truth. Praise the Lord. The reason you don't have more is because you don't believe God for more. There is no faith without confession. There's no such thing as faith without confession. You will never possess unless you confess. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, there's another side to this, and this was also spoken, and I wanted to share this. I even made this in all capitals just so I made sure that I got it. Amen? When you set boundaries, you also determine the boundaries that Satan can't penetrate. In other words, if you set big boundaries of faith, Satan will never get to you. He can't even reach you. You know, that's why they put the walls on the outside of the city, right? And they push them out as far as they can. Why do they do that? Because when they do that, they can't penetrate the inside. They can't get to the heart of the issue. And see, it's the same thing with us. If we start using our faith and our confession, and we push those boundaries out there where Satan can't get to us, praise the Lord. If we start pushing them out there, then he isn't going to be able to get us, and the attacks won't be like they were before. There will still be attacks, but they won't be like they were before. And they certainly won't be able to get to us the way they did before. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Turn with me to 2 Peter 1:19. Praise the Lord. Second Peter 1:19. It wasn't my Bible. There it is. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God wants us blessed. Jesus didn't die so we wouldn't be blessed. You know? And there'll be people that say, I just don't believe that. And they won't change. Guarantee it. Guarantee there will be no change. And they'll go on believing what they believe, but they won't change. 2 Peter 1:19 says, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. The King James says, we have the prophetic word confirmed. The King James says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. What this is saying is that this is our sure word of prophecy. Prophecy is telling what's going to happen or what the outcome will be. Amen? That's essentially what prophecy is, and that's what it's talking about here. The Bible tells us what will happen. And it's a light that shines in the dark places. But see, if we don't trust the word that's written, then we're gonna fall back into that place of fear, and we're gonna start losing any ground that we've gained. This is why people can have a testimony and lose a testimony. Amen. It doesn't mean that God isn't working in them still. It just means that they didn't take heed according to the word. If we don't move forward in faith, if we don't keep going, then you're gonna stop moving forward. Amen. And if you stop moving forward, the devil will make sure you go backwards. Yeah. Absolutely. I've seen it in my own life. Yeah. See, we have a choice. We have a choice to keep going forward into the things of God, or we have a choice to back off of those things. And listen, there's times. There's times where we're pressing forward into the things of God. You feel like you can feel like you can't do it. His grace is sufficient. Yeah. Listen, I'm going to tell you about busy. Hallelujah. Busy is just something that happens. It's something that can happen all the time. There's people that tell us, you know, there's people all the time, well, you know, we understand we couldn't be there because we're busy. I don't understand that. Because I can tell you that there are a few people that I know that are as busy as we are. I'm just being honest with you. There's few people that I know that go to church as much as we are. We were at 8 services this week. We're busy too. Praise the Lord. We plan our vacations around stuff like this. Why? Because we have a realization. We have an understanding of what's important. Now, I'm not saying you can't take time to relax, and people should take time to relax. I'm saying that, you know, people have this idea that a pastor just sits around, you know, he preaches maybe a message or two during the week, and the rest of the week he's out golfing. I'm going to tell you that. That's just not the truth. I can tell you, I don't know the last time that I truly have partaken of a hobby that I've wanted to. Right? I mean, when was the last, you know, it doesn't happen very, a few times a year we go away. Other than that, we're running hard for the things of God. I understand what busy is. Don't ever tell me, I'm just going to tell you right now. I'm going to help you real good. Never tell me you're too busy to be at church. Because I may smile to your face, in the back of my mind I'm thinking, when are they going to get it? When are they going to get it? Don't tell me that. If that's the way it's been and that's the way you've been living, that's fine. Just don't tell me. Because I don't like hearing stupid things, and that's a stupid thing. I'm just telling you the truth. I am not, like, listen, you're going to stand before Jesus and say, I'm sorry, Lord, I know you had a lot for me to do, but you know, I was really busy, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Did I step out of the curtain? Praise the Lord. I'm just telling you, listen, I'm not trying to come down on you, but I'm just telling you the truth. People come up with stuff in their heads, and they think that this is just, I told you before, listen, if you do something, be justified in your own right. Don't try to justify it to me or someone else. And what people do is, when people are guilty for not doing something, when they feel guilty about it, they always try to justify it. I know this because my pastor always told me it would happen. He said, you'll see people they haven't seen in a month. You'll go to Walmart and see them, and they'll give them all kinds of excuses why they haven't been at church. He hadn't said nothing to them about it. Listen, church is not about just me. It's about you getting your help, amen? It's about you getting fixed and the things that you need. Church is about making us better Christians, making us more able in the things of God, receiving more that God has for us. Do you understand that? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we got a few minutes here. I want to share some things. Yeah, I'll share that in a minute. But I want to share some things that the Lord... And I don't want you turning to these because it'll take too much time. If you have anything, just write them down and look at them later. But these are some things that you can confess, okay, for different areas of your life. Deuteronomy 28, 12, and 13. Deuteronomy 28, 12, and 13. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give rain to your land in its season and to bless the work of your hands. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Wouldn't that be nice? And the Lord will make you the head, not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandment of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. Listen to what he's saying. This is what you confess. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above only and not beneath. When the devil starts knocking on your door and you're having those thoughts, I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above, not beneath. Hallelujah. I lend to many nations and I'm not going to borrow. See, might say, I'm in so much debt, you don't even know, Pastor Jeff. I'm about to file bankruptcy, I'm in so much debt. I understand. But that doesn't change your confession. What do you want to see? What's your outcome? Do you want to see your outcome be what it always was? Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. How about the next time the devil starts knocking, telling you what you're not going to have, or how you're not going to have that spouse, or you're not going to have that good relationship, or you're not going to have the car that you always wanted. I mean, the car you always wanted. The Lord gives me the desires of my heart because I delight myself in him. Some of the devil comes knocking, you got to speak back. You got to answer it. I know it's just a thought, but what you do with that thought matters. What about that situation, that family situation you want turned around? The Lord gives me the desires of my heart. This is a desire. What's the desire of your heart? God wants to give you that. What are you desiring right now? God wants to give you that. Praise the Lord. I said, there's things that you desire right now. I'm not just talking about material things. Maybe you desire a child to come back to the Lord. Maybe you desire some freedom in an area you haven't had freedom. Praise the Lord. He gives you those desires. Praise the Lord. Exodus 15:26. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. He's the Lord that heals me. I don't feel good today. I got a tummy ache. He's the Lord that heals me. Cancer's trying to invade my body. He's the Lord that heals me. Start confessing right. Amen? I'm not necessarily saying to people. Listen, some of this is you're driving down the street. Most of your thoughts don't happen when other people are talking to you. Most of your thoughts happen when you're laying in bed at night and you can't sleep because those thoughts are going and going. You need to start speaking out, child of God. Hallelujah. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What can't you do? I don't feel like I can do this today. I don't care. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can't get up out of bed. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 3:20, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. He's working power in us to do exceedingly abundantly all we can ask or think. Yeah. The Bible says that. Right. He does exceedingly abundantly above all I can think. Yeah. When you think this high, he's thinking this high. If you think this high, he's thinking this high. You understand what I'm saying? Don't make me come out of my suit. Hallelujah, it's about to happen here. I'm trying to get you to think big, child of God. God wants us to think bigger. Bigger. Don't think too big. Don't think so far out of here that you can't get there. Listen, if all you've been thinking here, don't be trying to think up here. Think here. And when he brings you up there, then start thinking here. And when he brings you there, start thinking here. You understand what I'm saying? Take off little bites. Don't choke on the whole hot dog. You know what I'm saying? You can't swallow a whole thing down your gullet. You got to put it in piece by piece. You know what I mean? I tried to do that once at Waldemere. Remember that, Angie? Yeah. I started choking on a hot dog. You ever choke on a piece of hot dog? I have a piece like that big, slide down my throat, and stop right about there. Oh, my God, what am I going to do? I'll tell you, my whole 12 years is flashing before my face. I see my Aunt Jean coming across, she sees me choking too. I see my Aunt Jean flying across that pavilion, hand in the air. I mean, she's coming at me like Thor. I'm telling you. She's coming at me. That hot dog came up. I'm telling you. I was scared so bad. That hot dog came on. I didn't want to get hit by her. I mean, she was coming. She's like jumping tables. Wah-wah. I'm like, no! I mean, it didn't quite happen like that, but some very close. But she was there for me. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God wants us set free. Praise the Lord. I want to say, before I share the Mississauga miracle, I want to share one more thing with you. Matthew 12:35-37. Hallelujah. Matthew 12:35-37. Glory to God. Look at this. Think about this. Take this scripture home with you and meditate on this. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. Where do things come forth? From the treasure of your heart. If you've been sowing this word into you, if you've been getting the word in you, if you've been listening to sermons, you've been coming to church, all this stuff, you get this stuff in you. Listen, if you've done everything wrong up until now, who cares? I don't hate you. God don't hate you. Just start doing it right. If you don't do it right, then certainly do it tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? But just get it right. Just start doing it. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of an evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil things. That's why what you put in matters so much. If you put garbage in constantly, that's what you're going to bring forth. That's what I was saying. Remember what I was saying about the movies? Watching horror movies and all that kind of garbage all the time? Guess what's going to come out? Fear. If you're putting fear in, fear's coming out. Yeah, that's what it's talking about. The Bible calls that evil. Amen? But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Hallelujah. What does that mean? Well, you think about what justified is. It means set free. Amen? That's what it means. Justified means to be freed. That's what that word literally means. By your words you will be freed, and by your words you'll be in bondage. You decide what it'll be here on this earth. Yes, this is talking about in that day. But the Bible also said a few scriptures before that out of the treasure of your heart, a man brings forth. So what you want to bring forth is going to be, if you want to bring forth the freedom in your life, then you bring it forth in your speech and what you say. But if you want to bring forth your bondage in your life, then you continue to speak bondage, and that's what you'll have. Mississauga Miracle, you ready to hear about it? We got a few minutes here. So my wife and I were in these services in a church that we're connected with, in Promise Life Church in Mississauga. It's a church of approximately 300 people, but not all of them were there, as it usually goes. But it was Reverend Greer was there all week. He was there from Sunday night all the way through Thursday night. Amen. And so we went up to sit in these services and to receive what he had. Now, on Wednesday night, he let us know that the Lord had put this in his heart on Saturday night, and he preached about many things that week. But he said Wednesday night the Lord had put it on his heart to take up a special offering at that church. Now, he doesn't go to that church. He's just there ministering. But the Lord put it on his heart to take up a special offering at that church to help them buy the building, because they need to buy. They rent this building that they're in, and they're in a big commercial area up there, and they've been trying. The Lord put this on his heart, and he didn't know all that the Lord was already doing in the church with the pastors. And so at any rate, he talked to the pastor about this, and the pastor explained to him what was going on. They had been believing God for years to buy this building, and the guy who owns it just wasn't going to sell it to him. Now, you understand, a church that doesn't have a permanent space, it can be a hairy thing, because they can pull it out from under you at any time. At any point, they could say, you know what, we're going to rent it here because we can get twice as much, and so we're going to rent it to them. And they can send you packing, and then what are you going to do? You have a whole congregation. They've invested lots of money into remodeling the space and all this stuff. And so they've been trying to buy this building. Plus, on top of that, because they didn't own the building, they also had to pay the taxes for the building, you know, because churches will get a building with tax exempt, but they had to pay the taxes. And on that building, the taxes are $22,000 a year. So the church is essentially taking that $22,000 a year and just throwing it out the window. It's just think about all the things that $22,000 could do, and they weren't getting it. So what they needed, the owner just recently finally came to him and said, I'm willing to sell you the building for X amount of dollars. And I believe the price is about $2.2 million. In that area, it's not unheard of. It's not crazy. But that's just what it was. You know, you go to bigger areas, and you're going to spend a lot more anyways. So that's what it was to buy the building. But the way the government works up there, by law, they have to have 30% down. It's a mandatory. They have to have it. And so they had to raise 30% down. And I'll get to the numbers here in a minute. But we had posted on our Facebook about the Mississauga miracle, amen, that we were going to talk about it, because we wanted to share it with you just to help build your faith in the area. And this is a financial miracle, so I ain't trying to hide anything, but I'm sharing it as part of what happened, what God did for them. And so we posted that we were going to talk about it, and the pastor's wife, Pastor Jenny, she saw it, because she has Facebook, and she told Pastor Craig about it, and he sent us a message telling us more of the details that he didn't even get to share there. And so I'm going to read you the things that he said, amen, to share with you. Praise the Lord. He said, I am responding to you on my wife's Facebook, as I don't have a Facebook myself. She showed me that you posted about the Mississauga miracle. Smiley face. He's a sweet man. I love him. Just wanted to share with you one further tidbit, and actually there's a few here, which I never announced publicly on Thursday night, as I was caught up with just believing for $260,000. Now, that's what they had been saving money for that down payment, but they were still $260,000 shy of that payment, okay? So that's what they needed. I never actually crunched the specific numbers until the following day, but God was even more specific than I had realized, okay? Praise the Lord. 30% of $2.2 million is $660,000. On top of that, for real estate, appraisal, and environmental fees, they had to have another $25,000. So that equals a grand total of $685,000 is what they needed. Okay, now, Reverend Greer, when he took up the offering, he said to them, he said, we need to raise this by August. It was like August 29th, okay? So from July 2016 to Sunday, June 24th, 2018, they had saved $409,000. So what they actually needed after he'd crunched the numbers was $276,000. They had presented it to the church as needing $260,000. So they took up the Wednesday night offering, and they said that they needed at least 200 people to be willing to sow $1,300 apiece, and that would make the $260,000. But they actually needed $276,000, didn't know it at the time, right? So they didn't know any of this at the time. They take up the offering, And then at the beginning of the next service, there was some people that wanted, that needed to wait overnight and had to go home, seek the Lord on it. And they said they'd bring it the next day or whatever. And so the first thing they did was they took up the rest of the offering. So from Wednesday night to Thursday evening, in less than 24 hours, they took up this offering, okay? Praise the Lord. So they needed actually needed 276,000. They asked for 260,000. This is the exact number that came in. We needed $276,000 in less than 24 hours. $276,100 came in. $276,100 more than what he asked for. Praise the Lord. Or what they needed, not even what he asked. Praise the Lord. They needed a total of 685,000, and they got $685,100. Hallelujah. So you want to talk about specifics. I want to share with you on this. Both my wife and I, when we were sitting there, we knew that we had to sow into it, and so we sowed into that. We gave out of our, and it stretched us. It was hard. But we in the flesh, it stretched us, is what I'm saying. But we sowed into it. And also, this church sowed into it out of our building fund. And we didn't even realize at the time, when I first got up there, the Lord put it on my heart to sow money out of our building fund into their church. I didn't know any of this. And I sowed almost the exact amount, and I came up, made the rest of it right with them. And I said to him afterwards like this. So our church has seed in that ground, praise the Lord, as part of that offering. Now see, this is an example of the Lord moving on people. See, when God will move on people, and there's other people, there's some people online that even gave to it, you know, but it was just an absolute amazing miracle. Less than 200 people that were there, there was less than 200 people, raised $276,000. In less than 24 hours. And nobody in that church, we're talking about people, you know, they're just like us. You know what I mean? It's not like they're all wealthy up there or something like that. They're just, you know, we one of the people that we were talking to up to, you know, their manager at Starbucks. So we're not talking about people. But see, what people will do when they put their faith towards the things of God, the reason we're sharing it today really doesn't have anything to do with the message, but what it does is it's just to stir your faith that as we believe God, as we release faith for things. Now see, they have a guarantee that they'll be able to buy that building now, which will mean huge things for that church. Amen. And that's an area up there that needs it bad. That, I mean, you think we're bad here. It's bad up there. Praise the Lord. So I just wanted to share that with you just to stir your faith. And you know, listen, when people come together and do the work of the Lord, God will supply it. And all those people, you know, part of why we sowed into it is because we're believing God for our own building. There's money that we need for our own building, and God's going to bring it. He's going to bring it in ways that will. But see, that's the first thing that you do when you need something. You sow towards someone else in that area. That's why my wife and I, we're believing for some things too, amen. We're believing for some financial miracles in our own life, amen, because we need them too. And I'm going to tell you right now, when you're believing for a financial miracle, you don't just necessarily, you know, when you need something, the world will tell you it doesn't make sense to just go put money that you don't really have, or just money that, you know, just what you have, to put it somewhere else. But that's exactly, we're doers of the word, and that's why we'll be blessed. And we're going to share both for the church, and we'll share for ourselves as our miracles come to pass and the things change for us, amen. So I hope that stirs you. I hope that excites you. God is good. He's doing wonderful things here. He's got you connected for the right reason, right place. I already can tell you right now that things are breaking off your life. You're going to move forward. I know that many of you have made decisions today to go forward in faith and do the things that God has you to do. And I'm just going to tell you that it's going to work. God's going to be there for you. It's going to be easier than it ever was. There's also some other things that were imparted to me. I'm not going to share them today. But there's things that were important to me for the ministry that will come out too as time comes past. So God's doing great things here, amen? And we're going to go into greater things. You see it. You're believing for it. Start confessing it. Watch it come to pass, amen?